This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm and Jonathan Hood, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also part of the Busted Open family. Catch him some days from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. All right, boys, a lot to dive into this week, but where we begin, on Monday, on Raw, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the much-anticipated, the much-telegraphed return of Goldberg to WWE. He is getting a championship match with Gunther at Saturday night's main event. Appears to be his retirement match, something he has talked about. So my question to you, to start off the show, Goldberg's return is blank.
Well, it's deserved, his retirement match, especially when he loses. It's deserved. Because here's something that he's been asking for a while. You know, I got to get my last match. What a great opportunity if you have your last match to get smashed by Gunther. This whole thing has been booked so poorly, guys. The idea that he can just walk through right down the ramp and say, "Hey, Gunther, you're next." Well, I thought Gunther was a champion. I thought he can make the matches. Now all of a sudden, Goldberg now is the GM. He's making the matches. He's telling Gunther, "You're next." It was just so poorly designed. He just comes out of nowhere, and the crowd is so smart. We as fans are so smart now, Gabe, Brian, that we heard Goldberg chants before Goldberg came down. So there's that.
And Gunther acknowledged them, which I guess credit to him for doing that. I mean, to fill in the blank, though, this is Vince-esque. Like, we got the pop, we got the moment, and now he's in the main event for a title match. For a guy that they put on Twitter, 9 of his last 10 matches have been under 10 minutes. 6 of those have been under 5 minutes. So not exactly expecting a 5-star match, but we sort of alluded to it last week. Oh, that's why Gunther's winning the title. So him versus Goldberg is a title match for some reason. Borderline, I say, I almost wish Jey Uso was still champion so we wouldn't make this a title match.
Well, that makes a lot more sense to me, because if Gunther, again, this story makes more sense if Gunther loses to Jey for a second time last week, comes out licking his wounds, and now Goldberg comes out looking to take advantage of that. Hey, you trash talk my family. And then when Gunther gets the win over Goldberg, that can help him start building momentum to whatever he wants to do next, instead of just being literally a throwaway championship match. Like, there's no way Goldberg's winning this. Goldberg should not be a heavyweight champion in the year of our Lord 2025. Like, this should just not be that should not be a thing. And I enjoyed the Goldberg run he had when he came back and became Universal Champion in what was that, 2017? Was that 8 years ago at this point? Like, that was fun. I think everybody had it, and it ran its course. It didn't last very long, but everybody got the nostalgia pop with Goldberg in. Bringing him back in 2025 against a guy who hits as hard as Gunther just doesn't seem like a great idea to me. And as Gunther said on his social media accounts, I guess I got 3 minutes to spare.
You both confidently say he's not winning. I don't know if I could say that.
No. Unless you think that there's going to be a cash-in by Seth Rollins.
I could see that. Like, Goldberg gets his hand raised, then he gets jumped by unnamed faction. Rollins is a champion by the end of the night. I wouldn't rule that out.
I just think that that's bad booking or bad idea to have Gunther as a transitional champion. I think they put so much work and so much time into Gunther as champion. I just don't see him having the championship for a cup of coffee and losing to Goldberg. And by the way, this is on Saturday night's main event, right? Okay. Correct. So Gabe, you know what this means? A perfect timing for Goldberg to lose. I got 3 minutes to spare. Well, you know how tight those commercials are, right? On NBC. We saw it the last time. They don't have 8 or 9 minutes to spare because they're always going to commercial quickly because it's on network TV. So this match, whatever it is going to be really
reminder,
really
short. It's the same day as All In. So if you want people talking, Goldberg winning the title, you're talking.
Well, so that's what I was just thinking about. So All In starts at what? 3 Eastern. Saturday night's main event starts at 8. We know AEW loves to run long shows. Do you start Saturday night's main event with Goldberg versus Gunther to try to cut even more into AEW, even though they went to the mid-afternoon to try to avoid Saturday night's main event? Does WWE really try to stick it to them by going Gunther-Goldberg right out of the gate?
I'm sure, but I don't think WWE fans will be for this, even though it's in Atlanta. I know what they're trying to do. The reason why they have this match is because of money, obviously, because they want to sell merch and all this stuff about Goldberg. I just feel like the nostalgia, at least for me, is gone with Goldberg because he's lost three of his last five matches, and those matches sucked. So why should I care that Goldberg's back at age, what is he now, 58?
He was blown up from the entrance like on Monday.
He was red-faced and breathing
sweating. Heavy. He was very sweaty.
He is 58 years old. That is correct.
Listen, I'm not kind of casting any aspersions on Bill Goldberg, but the red face and the heavy breathing, Ultimate Warrior vibes.
Wow.
I'm telling you. We saw that night after the Hall of Fame.
But that company, they have zero young stars. The nostalgia is what they're banking on. Like, they don't need the five-star match. Like, that is a moment, especially if Mox is somehow winning. Like, to your point, Gator, those are overlapping. You have Mox winning on pay-per-view and then Goldberg winning on free TV. People might be more into Goldberg winning, unfortunately.
Don't give me the Mox winning the championship. That's
did you not see his big roll-up victory last night? He's hot.
just bro, it's just doom booking July 12th. That's what he's doing right now. He's not fantasy booking. He is doom booking. Like, well, if Goldberg's going to win, well, I mean, Mox is probably winning at the same time. No, Mox is not winning. Goldberg is not winning. I don't understand why you want to do this to yourself unless you're just trying to talk yourself into being surprised when both of them end up losing.
Yeah, and we talk about John Cena trying to ruin wrestling. We got someone's ruining wrestling right
maybe
now.
Maybe Cena-Goldberg title versus title at SummerSlam. It's the path we're going down. Okay. No.
Right. Well, no, because unless Goldberg's somehow getting into the King of the Ring, there goes head. See you later, pal. Unless Goldberg somehow gets into the King of the Ring, we already have the somebody who's going to be. Well, I guess you can challenge whichever.
You believe in
their
logic too much.
In
WWE logic. That's on you.
I will agree with you, though, with this, though, Brian, and you are correct. It is just like the old man. You see Triple H really relying on nostalgia, at least for now, because there's very few choices left now. Like, you won't see The Undertaker anymore. It's very few that they can go back and say, we can make money off of this old act. I think Goldberg is the last of the dying breed.
That's a good point. Like, it is few and far between. Like, I'm trying to think of guys that you could literally same role, old guy, get the nostalgia, and then throw him in a match.
Nick, that's why Nikki Bella's right. Back on the roster.
Well, who knows what she's going to be doing at Evolution since, you know, you had the injury with
Liv,
with Liv and her dislocating her shoulder. I think they had to kind of rip everything up and try to figure everything else out for Evolution because it seemed like that was going to be the big thing there. Look, Goldberg's not winning a championship. He just isn't at 58. Fine. You want your retirement match? Fine. We'll do it in Atlanta. I guess I can look the other way that it's going to be a championship match, but I mean, this thing is going to be 3 minutes and that's
But that's the baffling part.
We're going to get a jackhammer. We're going to get a spear. Gunther's going to kick out. Next thing you know, Goldberg's in a chokehold and that's it.
That's well booked. I'll take that. Sure. I think Gabe just booked it. It's because all of it ultimately is about the entrance, right? The crowd will be into Goldberg when he comes down. And then, again, because of time constraints on NBC, this can't last long. This can't go through the commercial. It can't go through the commercial break. It's
but
one
you
second.
Could have accomplished all this without the title being involved. Like, that's the baffling part.
Correct.
Or they were just that set on it, pulling the plug on Jay, or like, it's just so weird.
Well, because Goldberg did not even mention the championship at all in the brief exchange that they had. It was more about, hey, you insulted my family in Atlanta. Let's go back to Atlanta.
Does and he know it's
school.
A title match?
That's the story that Goldberg. I don't know.
You're next. Okay. I guess I'm next. Okay, old man. I'm next. Great.
I don't remember who tweeted, but my favorite fantasy booking of this match is that Bret Hart cost Goldberg in the end.
I'd love for Bret to be there. I think that makes sense. Pulls the leg, right? Holds the
Eat
leg
it,
down.
Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg.
There is no way.
I love that so much.
Goldberg is going to be cool. With his retirement match, involving Bret Hart and him losing his last professional wrestling match because of Bret Hart.
Good booking.
Or maybe Bret in the crowd. Somehow Bret's got to get on there. I know Bret is not happy with WWE either. He's there and he's with Steve Austin and he's rolling his eyes at Triple H when he shakes his hand and like he's just over all of it. But I just like for him just to be in the crowd, just to laugh when when he loses, just pointing and laughing. I like to have that.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Yeah, I'd be into that. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be into that. All right. So it seems like we're all over Goldberg in his return. But again, it's going to be a short-lived, presumably, return for Goldberg in his retirement match. Other stories to dive into this week. We call it the three count here on GKW. What is number one?
We found out Friday night, tomorrow night, SmackDown. John Cena versus Ron Killings. R-Truth part number two. The big return continues for R-Truth. What's the end game for Ron Killings?
Why do they insist on using both of his names? Because they call him Killing, then they call him Truth. They're using both. It's kind of confusing. It feels like he wants to go by Ron Killings, but the announce booth just continues to call him maybe accidentally because it's been so long. Keep calling him R-Truth or just Truth. I don't know what the end game is here. Because you would think getting a win over John Cena would, but that's just not going to happen. I'm honestly surprised that they were able to find a date where they could have a rematch of, because think about it, like CM Punk's probably not getting a rematch. Randy Orton's probably not getting a rematch. And yet, because of the demand of the fans and them having to re-sign Ron Killings, like him getting a rematch is pretty remarkable. That being said, he's going to lose this match, and then I don't know where he goes from there. I don't know if they try to turn him into more of a serious character that goes after Bron Breakker or Jacob Fatu and goes after one of those, the US or IC title. I'm not quite sure what the end game is here.
Okay, so it's Ron, R-Truth Killings, and they had to use both because you can make money off of both. And now his t-shirts are Ron Killings and they still come all true. So either way, they're making money off of the name. Either name. That's one. Two, I think that I'm surprised this match is on SmackDown and they can find this somewhere in a PLE. Because if they want to build this thing up, you can see Ron Killings going after John Cena twice, as we saw, trying to attack him. And so to me, I think, God forbid, you're trying to protect a 52-year-old, but I feel like Ron Killings is going to win by disqualification, like some kind of schmoz, some kind of interference. John doesn't have to beat Ron Killings twice. Didn't have to. I feel like I think that you have this matchup and then Ron Killings will have this run as taking on some of the heels. And I think it fizzles out after about 6 months.
Yeah. It almost feels like this was thrown together just because of the reaction where, to your point, Gabe, like they never planned on a rematch. It was like, well, let's try and milk something else out of this. I feel like this is almost the end of the line. Like they got the initial reaction. They got the surprise at Money in the Bank. And he borderline character-wise seems to be doing almost split personality stuff right now to where I feel like in 3 months we're back to comedy R-Truth, where he's R-Truth, he's Ron Killings, yeah. He doesn't know who he is.
I think that's the point because when we see his promos, he goes, I'm driving now. He just kind of just somehow he found a secret link to bust it open and just went in and just talked to LaGreca and like Natalya out of nowhere. He goes, I'm driving now. He looked like a lunatic. I'm like, okay, so it's both of you. So it's the funny guy and now Ron Killings. And somehow these two will meet in a character development at some point.
And this one, correct me if I'm wrong, is also non-title.
Which makes the
Goldberg part even more baffling. So now that's two matches they've had. They're both non-title because it doesn't need the title, but like at least put the title up for grabs and do something with that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it probably does make sense to keep now hearing the logic there of keeping the R-Truth character alive because maybe that's what he goes back to in 6 months. I mean, that's what people typically want to see. It's going to be tough. I think and we talked about this when it initially happened, and I know you were talking about the TNA version of Ron Killings Hood. Like, I don't know if WWE fans are ready for that Ron Killings, or if they're excited that R-Truth is back and they just want to see the goofy, wacky R-Truth who comes out for, you know, Money in the Bank and he thinks it's a different type of match, or he shows up for, you know, Survivor Series and he thinks it's Money in the Bank and does all the different little comedy things that R-Truth can do. keeping that character alive so you can pull that escape hatch and he can just fall back into that character might be, might ultimately be the plan in the long game for R-Truth. But it, of course, it, going after John Cena right now, he needs to be Ron Killings for it to make sense.
Yeah, I have no problem with Ron Killings asking the company, can I just be me? Can I just have a run as me from 19, 20 years ago and just see how that goes? I mean, you should never be trapped in a box in entertainment. I think that a perfect example is like the New Day. When the New Day first came together, they were hated because like these guys are just so over the top trying to be baby faces. And they were for a long time, the Bootios and everything else. Oh, I love that because they're funny. Look at them now. I mean, they're tag team champions and they've kind of gotten into their bag. Same thing with Naomi. Naomi, another perfect example, someone that was always a baby face and now turning heel, she gets Money in the Bank and people believe in her more than ever. So, and I'm not saying that as the direction for R-Truth, but sometimes you just want to be able to branch out. Another perfect example is Cena. After all this time of being a babyface, so sometimes you just want to have fun and just do something different with the character.
I just feel like they didn't like this is so unexpected even for the booking that like they don't know what's next. It's like, well, I guess we could throw another match together. Like Saturday Night's main event was probably a Cena request. I feel like Shawn Michaels sort of hinted at that to us when we had him on. They got the request, they did their thing, then the release happens. Like, oh, this guy's very over. We got to re-sign him. Let's do another match. Like, this is just sort of out of left field for them even at this point.
Does Truth / Killings win any gold as a result of this? Of him coming back, him being so over, does that result with him? I'm not saying the heavyweight championship or the undisputed championship. I'm just saying any type of gold. It could be he teams up with somebody and wins tag team gold. Does he walk away with a championship because of how over he is and people demanding that he came back?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that he's one of those characters that doesn't need a title of any sort. He's just a standalone. And they're going to try and see what this looks like. He's going to be this character for a while, and then they'll release him again. Because we've seen this before, right? We've seen guys released twice. Braun Strowman was released twice. So it happens. You know, Karrion Kross, if I'm not mistaken, released was going to be a second time, right, at some point. So I don't think so. I think he's fun. I think as a standalone character, he's
also think like in terms of like the mid card titles, at least they're trying there with the younger stars. Like Fatu has won, Dom has won. Him winning one of those titles just continues to hurt the growth of this company when it comes to young stars.
Yeah, but Fatu's not. I mean, Fatu's a new star. I don't know if I'd qualify him as a
by
young
WWE
star.
Standards. He is.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, he's under 40. All right, I'll give you that, Brian. He's under 40 years old. I'll give you that. I'm just really curious to see if. Yeah. I'm just really curious what they end up doing with him because it does seem so unexpected, and it seems like they've had so many plans for what they think SummerSlam is going to look like. Obviously, these plans can change, as we mentioned, with the injury to Liv Morgan and Evolution 2 that's going to be coming up. So that sometimes things change, but it seems like, okay, we'll give the fans what they want, but ultimately we don't want to change what our larger plans are and involve him with anything.
Boy, this show's really aging. We start with a 58-year-old and a 52-year-old as topics. Well, that's something, man. That's what WWE is.
World of professional wrestling, brother.
And then also in that regard, Cena, like, I feel like, is that date number a work at this point? Because he's been on a lot recently.
I mean, it's ticking off quickly.
Like, we're about to hit a streak where he's gone for 3 months in order to catch up.
those dates are moving quickly.
So he's gone from SummerSlam through Survivor Series?
There's just no second act after the Bloodline, guys. We've been talking about this every week. Like, what excites you? We're talking about R-Truth, Goldberg. Tough times.
Okay. With that being said, what's number two this week on the three count, Brian? Please tell me it's something positive.
Well, before the R-Truth Ron Killings beatdown, we saw a CM Punk John Cena segment. CM Punk doing his thing on the mic. We also saw MJF continue to be one of the top heels in the game, reportedly getting attacked at his hotel in Mexico. So, in pro wrestling right now, who's the best promo?
It's a tough question. And since you sent this out to us earlier today, I have been thinking about it. And I think right now the best promo in pro wrestling is Toni Storm. Mm. I think she's fantastic. I think her vignettes are amazing. And then even when she doesn't usually get a lot of time live, but like all the double entendre, innuendo, and never breaking character, like never breaking despite saying the ridiculous things that she does. Like every time she gets that opportunity to talk, I'm locked in. Like I don't want to miss that. I certainly CM Punk's on that list. Certainly MJF is on that list. I'd throw Becky Lynch in there from WWE, you know, mm-hmm. on the short list. Those were like the ones I thought of. But right now, the one I'm most interested from hearing from week in and week out is Toni Storm.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty much spot on. And some of the others that you mentioned, like Becky Lynch did something weird on Monday night, her and Bayley going face to face. And there's a different cadence with Bayley, with Becky now, where she's interrupting the person she's having a promo with. And she's backed up against the ropes and just taking it from Bayley. It's just really funny. Like she's really, really good. She's been really great and on top of it. I would put Drew McIntyre in that conversation as well. I'd put Nick Nemeth in that conversation. I just think that he's been on top of it as well with TNA. But yeah, I would say it starts with it's really, Brian, the MJF award. It's the MJF award. Who is even in close to him as far as promos? I would say that Toni Storm, Trick Williams, I put on there as well. Trick, you watch him, man. That promo that he does, and I know it's usually a minute and a half backstage. It could be in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. It's just that jive, man. He just got that cool jive that he's talking with that TNA championship. I enjoy his promos very much so, but I think Tony's right there. Tony Storm.
I agree with all those. I think, obviously, like you said, MJF. I think Hangman also, English or Spanish, like the way he's able to control the audience.
I was about to say. Poor Excalibur's like trying to translate it in real time, but just doesn't have enough time, like as Hangman's catching his breath. So he's just quickly trying to tell everybody at home what they're actually watching and listening to from Hangman.
We were talking about this before the show, Gabe. We thought that, okay, it'd be a hybrid, right? Thank the people in Mexico for coming out. Appreciate this. AEW loves this. And we thought he'd be talking to us. No, stay in Spanish the entire time. Like, hey, what about us?
4 minutes of Spanish from Hangman Adam Page.
Gabe, did you bring Mrs. Neitzel in? Did you bring her in to maybe
I should have. I mean, again, she would have struggled to tell me as quick as getting in. Excalibur was trying to keep up. He couldn't keep up. Like, obviously, AEW wasn't ready for it either, because I would assume that if they would have known he was going to do an entire one in Spanish, they would have liked to have subtitles.
Or why not
at the
do
bottom.
That during the break? Just so the, like, it's just they literally had Bryan Danielson return last night off camera, but the Spanish promo is on air. Like, it was very odd. But I think the way we've talked about for weeks, the way we care about Hangman and his development, I think a lot of that is due to his promo work.
Yeah, I think all of us were taken aback by Hangman Page mm-hmm. doing that. I mean, all the way through, because the little Spanish that I know, guys, was like, oh, my Spanish is rusty. Well, probably not. It's like you're spot on, pal. Like I mean, he I'll tell you what, he sold to Mexico and Latino speaking people. He sold a pay-per-view, that's for sure.
Yeah. The other one I throw out there, and I know
absolutely
the right now part makes it tricky because he's hurt. Like KO is another one of those guys, anytime he's on the mic, like get you to care. Yeah. Like I think back to the car promos during the Cody run, where it's like he's just sitting in his car and he's getting you to care, and that's a credit to him.
Yeah, he's always been really good at that. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Samoa Joe cut a promo, but Joe's always been fantastic. He just doesn't get the opportunity as much anymore as a trios champion. You know, every once in a while they get the backstage segment. But yeah, I look at KO and Joe as just, hey, these are two veterans that are going to be able to talk you into just about any match if you give them the time. Like, they're always going to sell their ass off and make you interested in whatever the hell it is that's going on. And yeah, KO's had some not great things to work with, and he makes you interested. But again, I think that goes back to Drew McIntyre as well, where Drew has just been able to, and another guy who's not around right now, but somebody who has sold the hell out of a lot of the matches that he's been able to do. I mean, I firmly believe that Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, as long as they had to drag that out because of Punk's injury, those might be the only two you'd be able to actually do that.
Yeah.
and keep, you know, have them again. There was a little physicality there, like when Punk took out Drew with his elbow brace as he was recovering from his injury a couple of years ago. But unless you have two incredibly talented guys like that, you're not able to tell an 8-month long story where they're rarely getting physical.
Also, just want to give flowers to John Cena as well. Just remember why we're getting this matchup in Saudi Arabia, because John Cena, tongue in cheek, went at CM Punk and said, "All right, hero, guess what? If you want this championship, you got to follow me to Saudi Arabia." You know, the same Saudi Arabia you got on Miz for going to, you recall this? I mean, so it's like, hey, hero, since you're anti-Saudi Arabia, you want the title? Follow me there. And then that's why Punk was so pissed on Friday, because he was just like, ah, I can't get back at this guy. And I think he kind of lost it a little bit. If you notice, there were some pauses in that promo on Friday night, because he had so much he wanted to say, because he was so mad that Cena put him in a box. It's like, oh, you know, you said that, and I guess we don't have to say exactly what he said in social media to The Miz, but I think we get the drift. And so Punk had to get back at Cena. And so I thought that was a great promo battle as well.
Well, because those two have always brought out the best in each other. They have. Like, I know people were nostalgic for Orton Cena because they traded the title 17 times back and forth back in the day.
Yeah.
But when Punk and Cena would go head to head, whether it was on the microphone or in the ring, like, those were the best matches for John Cena. Those were the best promo battles for John Cena. Like, they just bring the best out of each other, and it's always been that way. And this has always been the one match on the retirement tour that I've been looking forward to, because we haven't seen the best out of Cena in the ring. He has looked the age in the ring. I'm curious if he can recapture some of that magic with CM Punk when they go head-to-head at Night of Champions.
Yeah, the other thing too, Brian, is that it's a great question today, because in this era of wrestling, we're not in the Vince McMahon, everything must be scripted, read everything that's on this paper. So the promos are even better now, because it comes from the heart, or it comes from the mind, and not from some writer in the back. In the 80s, the Randy Savages and the Hogans and the Ultimate Warriors and the Triple H's and the Dusty Rhodes and all those guys, they did it from the top of their head. And I think we're getting more of that today.
Well, that's the thing. Like, none of us listed him, but like, Cody Rhodes has shown that side and what he can do. But I feel like in terms of storytelling and what WWE is lacking, we haven't seen it in so long, because there's nothing we're invested in when it comes to Cody right now. But when he's invested, well, we care.
Because but just about every Cody promo has been the same.
Because there's nothing to do.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, every Cody promo has been the same for six months. You know, where, hey, what do you want to talk about? And then he just does his baby face thing. Like, again, he's a good promo when you give him some meat behind it. Now, again, sometimes he gets left in his own and he thinks he's, you know, solves racism. But, you know, when you give him a little bit of guidance, you know, I think you can obviously he's a very talented talker once you get him on the microphone, and you just got to give him a push in the right direction.
He hasn't solved racism.
I mean, you tell me, pal.
Why do I have to tell you? Why do you ask me? Happy Juneteenth.
But Cody, honestly, I'm surprised none of us brought up Paul Heyman.
True.
Because Paul still did a lot of the talking with the Bloodline. He had whatever, you know, the faction to be named later has still been mostly, you know, Seth Rollins still leading the charge. Like, Paul's there. Paul certainly has his moments and talks on occasions, had some backstage moments with some different guys, but he has not been the one who has been coming out in leading those promos, which, again, Seth is great, but Paul's literally in the Hall of Fame because he's the best talker of all
time.
That
does seem like a waste, and, like, that WWE model, like, I worry sometimes, yes, it's a lot better now when they're not just reading off cue cards, but they still have that model like, oh, yeah, hit catchphrase, hit slogan. Like, we saw a little with Jacob Fatu on Friday. Like, he is someone that could be fun on the mic when he's unhinged, and this past week was just catchphrase, get the crowd reaction, you know, a little bit of substance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I feel like you got to keep his promo time short and sweet. If you give him 6 minutes, it's not going to be good for anybody. Let him be the energetic ball that he is. hit the point fast, hit that catchphrase, and that can be really good for him.
Extra editing back in the day when he's in MLW, tell you that. You don't want him, you don't want the real guy out there. Oh no. you want that mouth? What did Joe Dombrowski tell us? Oh no. You don't want the real guy. But no, I think we're in a great era for promos. Absolutely.
Which is great.
What do we got?
All right, we're getting closer and closer to All in Dallas, AEW last night in Mexico, but still a light card. So bring out the pencils and fantasy book a match to add to All In.
So what, we're only at three?
World title, women's title.
Like officially, we're only booked at three.
Are we?
Yeah, let's
see. The unified title, women's title, and Mox and yep. Hangman.
That's right.
Because you have the unified, the title, it's going to be the unified title. So those are the only three. So obviously we're eliminating, because I think all signs are pointing towards Swerve and Ospreay versus the Bucks, right? Like, I think we can officially eliminate that one.
And that's really it. Like, last night didn't really do anything to, like, add matches.
No, last night was, it was a fun show, but I think it was just a show just showcase as much talent as you possibly could being in Mexico for the first time. And again, they advanced some storylines like Mercedes and Tony, but last night was just about, hey, we're trying to jam as many people, especially if you're a luchador, out of the show as humanly possible, which ended up being an entertaining show because you got some really good wrestling.
No. I mean, there's nothing like a 14 and 10 man tag. Never seen that before. I've been watching wrestling for a long time. Like, it is, it's what you said. Like, everybody gets a check. Like, everybody just jam as many people in the car. And by the way, people in Mexico loved it because a lot of it was that kind of lucha style. So they just loved it. Whether you are Japanese, whether you are Latino, whether you are American, whether you're from wherever country, they all had that same style. And I think that the crowd loved it. You kept hearing the high spots and the crowd getting into it. It's really, really good. I think that crowd was just ready for something else because some of their own that they watch on a regular basis, they were booing. You notice that? Atlantis or whatever? They was like, oh, God, this guy again.
But they loved our guy, Kyle Fletcher.
They love Kyle Fletcher, though, right? They love MJF. And I think some of them loved it, even though he was going after him. So this is a very difficult question because you know how Tony books, like the three matches that you just mentioned that's already on the card make sense. Now what else? So who's gonna vie for the tag team championships?
It seems like Speedball Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight. Seems like because they were part of the tack last night on those two after MJF defeated Mystico.
Okay.
Seems like Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher are going to be partners on that dance card.
Title change.
Yeah, I think so. Our guy finally gets his first title.
Hope so. I think that sounds good. Good match on paper. A lot, very much so. Okay, so then somehow Athena's in this card. I just don't know.
I was about to say, can we do something for Athena, please? Can we get Athena? Because again, she was starting to heat up and then briefly had the Mercedes is now occupied because she's going to be in the world championship picture. But can we give Athena something? For the love of all, she is the champion on ROH and has gotten less time than Dustin Rhodes on AEW.
And she recently sent an interview. She's like, oh, I don't know if it's going to work out. She's a Texas native. She's like, oh, but we'll have the ROH show the night before. Like, I'll be defending my title on that.
The hashtag is starting, by the way. And I don't know if Tony Khan is going to look at that and think, oh, God, I got to put in the card. She might be on the pre-show, unfortunately, but at least she'll be on the call.
So I wrote her name down also, and in terms of dance partners, I said Statlander or Willow. Just let them go out there and do 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In. I'm looking at this roster, and again, how many six or eight-man tags are we going to get here just to get everybody on the card?
Well, in terms of that, like, Joe is so over right now. Like, do the trios titles have to be on this card?
How much that surprised you, by the way, the pop that Joe got, first time ever wrestling in that building?
So over.
Never. I mean, I'm a Joe stan, so I get it. I get it. I pop for him
all
the time.
That was one of the biggest reactions of the night.
Yes, they love that guy. He's never. I'm sure he's wrestled in Mexico before, but never in that building, I guess.
So did they just defend against Yuta and Claudio and someone else? Like, do we see that again?
And Gabe Kidd. Yeah. Because they got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I like that. I know. I mean, I would sign up for it again. I know that Thunder Rosa threw out like going up against Britt Baker again. And would she throw out there? Like, I'd sign me up for anything with Britt Baker. Like, sure. Sign me up for anything with her right now.
She will batter Tony Khan into a match. that's what she does. So, and again, it's Texas, so you would think that she'd have some kind of involvement, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Orange Cassidy has been absent for a long time. I'm trying to think of anybody else who like needs to be on this card.
For Darby AEW. Is just a return, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he returns and helps in the main events and helps ultimately overcome Mox. I could certainly see that.
I mean, you don't need an eight-hour show. I know there's no way they would do that, but...
No, you need... And again, for the reasons we talked about earlier, especially if you are going to be crowning your new champ of Hangman Adam Page, you got to keep this thing a tight four. You got to make sure you are off the air by the time... Or WWE Saturday Night,
and especially because the three matches we listed are going to be long. Like Okada and Kenny don't know how to work under an hour. You can't tell, hey, you got 15. Like that's not going to work.
Yeah, spoiler alert. That's going to steal the show because this will be the hardest that Okada has wrestled since being in AEW. This will be his best match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
without question.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I'll
agree with that.
You know, there's so many people we watch on a regular basis on this show, guys, that just take up TV time, but you probably wouldn't want to put them on your pay-per-view. Like, I got no problem with Anna Jay, watching Anna Jay doing anything. But the idea that she's going to be on the show doing anything, I mean...
Do they have anything for FTR?
Yes. They'll find two Mexicans to wrestle. Somebody from CMLL. Because I think that works for me. I like the father and son duo. Only thing is that Dax, you never call out a old wrestler, right? So what was the end result on Wednesday night? You got rolled up by an old wrestler. You know, that's why you never say that. You're like 60 years old, right? Yeah, that 60-year-old beat your ass. You never say that, even if a guy's got a mask on. That's wrestling 101. I don't know why that was allowed to do that on, I think it was on Collision he did that last week.
Just looking at the roster and like guys we see on TV, like, Takeshita. I mean, I'm always an advocate for Brody King being on any card.
That's correct.
So
I just don't. I don't know the dance partners. Yeah. We can make a list of people that deserve to be on the card. I just don't know the opponents.
Well, it just because again they had a 14 man match, a 10 man. Like everybody has been like jammed into just a couple of storylines, and you need to start trying to figure out how to branch things off because we're less than a month away.
I don't know.
Can we do FTR versus Brody King and somebody?
Is Buddy still around?
I think he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, you're right.
Buddy Matthews?
Yeah.
Yes, he is down. He is hurt.
I don't know.
Probably no return for Chris Jericho because he's gone for a while now.
You think he's fine missing the biggest show of the year?
Always a chance for a payday, huh? You would think he'll worm his way back on the card.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. So guys, I mean, look, you know what? We still have some time.
Does MJF and Mystico, do they run that back?
What was wrong with that?
It was
match?
Good, but I don't know, like for that card, it was good in Mexico.
It was a house show in Mexico. I don't know what MJF was doing. One move, take him down, get to the ropes, see me on the ropes. One move, see me on the ropes. Like, I could see if that was a house show. He's doing house show shit on TV. I'm like, are you going to have, like, chain wrestling at all? You
gonna
do anything?
I don't know if you put that on All In, but yeah, MJF. I mean, I can't believe we forgot about him. He needs someone to work with.
His shine is not as bright as it once was.
Sure.
No.
For me. Just not.
I would agree.
I still know what he's. And that finish sucked yesterday. After all that, ball shot? That's how you finish that match. Like, I was so unfulfilling, I thought, yesterday.
So they've got a lot of people you could put on there. And again, as much as I have enjoyed the story behind the three matches that they've put on here, and there's, and again, the other ones we talked about, they've been building a story for probably two more matches on there. So five matches with some significant story, but so much has gone into that. It makes you wonder, okay, are they going to run a Triple H card with five or six matches? Or are they going to still AEW this thing and fill it
and
all the way up?
And that's sort of disappointing. You don't have time to tell these stories. We're like, yes, those other five matches they throw in there, they're going to be great, but you'd like to have a little more story behind it.
Well, you know how it goes, Gabe. I don't know why you asked that question. You know it's going to be 18 matches. You know how they
do
it.
That ROH the night prior.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just hopeful it's going to be a reasonable card and like keeps it. Like, I mean, if he self-edits himself to eight matches.
Oh my God. Now you've turned the corner as a promoter, as a booker now, right? Your biggest show, you have a spotlight on your best eight matches. You want to do pre-show? Mm-hmm. Fine. But you can be able to do that and say, here are the great eight that I'm going to put out there.
And you can throw some other guys out in the pre-show. Like the Leo Rushes of the world, they could be in a multi-man match in the pre-show, so you got to work a big stadium. But eight being on this card would be amazing.
And I just learned today that Leo Rush's real name is Lionel Green. I never thought L-I-O was short for Lionel. Leo, Lionel, strange. Just learned that today.
What do we have in news? All
right, Jade Cargill continuing to branch out. She is set to make her acting debut in the action thriller True Threat alongside Jonathan Majors. It is slated to begin production in the fall.
Yep, we're going to lose her.
The biggest news there is that Jonathan Majors is still doing movies.
That's correct.
Not that Jade Cargill is going to be a movie. I am not surprised at that whatsoever. That, again, with the look that she has, like, okay, yeah, we'll give her a shot in a movie. The fact that she's doing a movie with Jonathan Majors, that's the Majors part is the more shocking part of that sentence to me.
I have not watched Entertainment Tonight lately. I didn't know. Is he okay that he could still green light movies? Okay, just wondering. Interesting. We're going to lose Jade Cargill in about 4 years, guys.
Yeah.
Or less. Look at her. Like, whatever she does in the ring, she does in the ring, but she's going to be the next Bautista at some point. Holy smokes.
Elsewhere in the women's division, Charlotte Flair is on the Games with Names podcast, and she named the worst wrestling city in the world. Have you guys seen who she said?
Yes.
It might be somewhere Jonathan Hood's familiar with. She said Chicago. Quote, they know what's wrong with them.
Well, because you know what happened.
They broke her.
Chicago is the place where her and Tiffany Stratton got a little lost in the sauce and just started yelling different things at each other prior to wrestling.
Chicago's fault. That's not our fault. Don't blame Chicago. Not our fault. We're not the worst city. And by the way, she wants to say that. That's okay. Her old man will never get a free drink in this town again. So it's fine. She wants to say that because nobody gets free drinks like Ric Flair on Rush Street in Chicago. So, you know, he's been getting free drinks around here for 40 years. Free Blackhawks tickets for 40 years. So we can cut that off quickly since we're such a bad city.
I will say next time they're in town, they cannot send her out there with a mic.
I mean, we didn't do anything to her. She got lost herself.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, I mean, again, the only thing Chicago is guilty of is being a little overzealous. Like, they were just really, you know, but you're a professional wrestler. You gotta be able to work through it.
So squeaky, Virginia. So squeaky.
That's not our fault she used that line. She got lost.
That was the decision you made, Charlotte.
Don't blame us.
You guys will have more time to watch, you know, other wrestling such as maybe NWA on Roku, because starting July 4th, 2 hour SmackDown back in your life. Dave Meltzer reports that TKO didn't actually see any profit off of the 3 hour SmackDown. So, 2 hours.
No profit, you said.
Well, yeah. Well, because they had 3 hours. Like, I mean, why would they see any? I guess I don't know.
His point being that USA didn't give them any extra for a third hour. Apparently, there was something where it's like, correct. Hey, if ever you want a third hour, we'll do it. And they're like, all right, do it.
Well, yeah, that's what it kind of seemed like, because they're doing 3 hours now, and again, everybody thought that was going to end in June. It hasn't. That's, again, if you're TKO, like, why are you going, hey, why am I running an extra hour for free? Like, USA has to pay for that third hour if that's what they want. So that makes all the sense in the world to me, and thank God they're going back to 2 hours.
Agreed.
I'm all in on a two-hour SmackDown. Absolutely love it.
I love they announced it for the first one on July 4th.
Which will be a pre-tape, by the way.
Well, yes, on the holiday, no one watched. So it's perfect. Just sneaking in on you, like, oh, something happened to my DVR. No, it's 2 hours, or Jeb, it's over. It's a 2 hour show now, Jeb. It's all right. So I think that is perfect. I think that the three of us would agree that 3 hours was a stretch, because you can have 3 hour shows, just have some meat to it, and just it was just stretched out to the main event, whatever that's a promo battle or whether it was a match, but it was never like, oh my God, I got to watch 3 hours and invest in it.
They had to have Cena cut two different promos this last Friday. Like, he came out to start the show. That wasn't enough. No, he's got to come out and cut another
and
promo.
And a backstage yelling segment where he turned the hat backward. There's a lot of Cena Friday.
Yeah. So again, and the Cena stuff was good, but I don't know if you needed that much. I mean, that tells me, okay, we're struggling to cover all 3 hours if we're putting Cena out there twice for a couple of large promo segments.
And finally, news to know, some free agency news reports out that Private Party's AEW contracts are, quote, up sooner rather than later. Sean Ross Sapp says WWE has shown initial interest in the young tag team.
Is WWE just interested in everybody who leaves AEW? Okay.
Like, they are guys that I was a lot more hopeful for, like, when AEW started. And the big payoff, they got the titles, and then nothing after that. Like, I don't understand that.
Is that booking from TK, or is that partially them?
Oh.
Because, like, I'm trying to figure, like, if they leave AEW, I mean, they haven't been on AEW television now in a while. So I don't think I'd miss them. But also, going back to what we were just talking about, with SmackDown going down to 2 hours, I don't necessarily know where they fit on the WWE roster either.
Oh, well, they don't. They belong in Evolve. Okay. That's where they belong in NXT or Evolve.
Speed?
Speed's fine. If there are Speed Tag Team Champions, they'd be. I'd only want to see them for 3 minutes. You're right.
What's a hot tag in a speed match? You make that tag in 60 seconds? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Like, side headlock tag, right?
Oh. Yeah.
Tag team maneuver tag. Like, you know, like wrestling was in the 80s. That kind of thing. Yeah. You know, very, very quick tags. In and out. They're precision. They're tag team. I've never thought about it. We've talked about it. I never thought highly of those two. They were tag team champions, and then they flummed it.
Yeah, and
they weren't good.
To me, as much as we've knocked on the Mox story, like, the big payoff was supposed to be all these young stars getting their moment and, you know, saving AEW. Case in point here, we're like, hey, they won the titles. It's like, never mind.
They just weren't good. I don't think they were ever good. Seriously.
The most over thing was it one. I can't remember which one of them was who like yells as they're like being thrown in the air before a move happens to him. Like, that was their most over thing.
Super early in AEW. Remember they beat the Bucks in the tag tournament.
Oh, in the tag tournament. Yeah.
Trying to put them over.
So like that was a big moment and a big surprise.
didn't work then.
I was never a fan. So maybe with NXT, they can, you know, have some speed and have some fun. But I mean, I think there's a ceiling in their success. Yeah. They're just not good to me.
That's it for news and notes.
And what is that? And that shot on NWA, I heard that. Taking a shot at NWA
hour
in the Roku.
It's free time now. You can watch it on Roku.
What? No, thank you.
What did you guys have as your matches of the week?
I like that Mercedes Moné matchup. She took a beating for, 10 minutes, 11 minutes, and she ends up winning a championship. So many titles, it falls off of her. She had so many titles and fell.
That was amusing, though. Like, that was taking the slam and the belts going everywhere.
Oh, that was a great visual. Like, her taking the German and then just having the championships fly. That was a very, very good visual. Whoever decided to come up with that idea, fantastic.
Not the best camera, by the way, not the best camera work, though, on the ramp. It reminded me of WCW 91, the cameras everywhere. I'm like, can you just focus the camera, please?
They seemed thrown off that Tony came out there. Like, they were just as surprised as Storyline Mercedes was. It's like, oh, how do we shoot this? Like, what?
Maybe my mind just works different. Was she supposed to be like Carmen Sandiego in the red hat and red trench coat?
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I was you know, still able to catch. And even though we made fun of it, like the 10-man tag to end the show last night was insanely fun. So I enjoyed
the first 10-man tag, the one with the Don Callis family. And or no, that was 12. 14.
So the 14
match
tag.
Number 1.
12, 14?
14. Match number 1. Yes. Match number 1 he liked. Okay. So that would be the 14-man tag.
Kyle Fletcher was in it, the Don Callis family was in it, and then a bunch of other people.
I like that.
And Stokely's
as well.
Spanish. I enjoyed his Espanol as well.
That's very good. That's, I thought it was very good.
Which I think was the same match, right? Dax was in that one?
Yeah. Yes, the roll up at the end for the finish.
There's a lot going on.
Horrible. Horrible. What else?
I enjoyed the King of the Ring semifinal that Randy Orton won. So that was the early one, I believe, on SmackDown.
Ivy Nile, Asuka, Raquel Rodriguez, and Stephanie Vaquer. I love Ivy Nile getting the preliminary jobber lack of intro. She was just in the ring. She didn't even get an intro. Like, oh, she's not winning. But it was good to see Asuka back. Really, like, she never left. Boy, she looks great.
So I enjoyed that one also. I don't know if it's Evolution where we get it, but Asuka versus Vaquer one-on-one. Hopefully that's not just a throwaway Raw match. Give those two some time to work.
Oh, no. That would be unbelievable.
Evolution, right? Oh, we have a few weeks to that. Throw it in there.
On a Sunday, by the way. Thanks for
again, so much. Well, and as much as I enjoy Asuka, like, disappointed Vaquer didn't win that match. Just because I thought you had an opportunity because you already had Roxanne Perez, like, as a younger star there, like, who is ready to potentially advance. And now it's, you just have some people who are already pretty established in terms of Alexa Bliss and now Asuka, you know, it would have been nice to see another younger, fresher face in the semifinals on the women's side. Cause on the men's side too, it's just like
a ton of young talent,
old dudes.
Yes. If I'm Stephanie Vaquer, I make sure I protect my character, which means I know that Booker and you guys love that booty gimmick, but that I'm more than that. Okay. I'll do that spot, but don't make me some kind of gimmick. Like, I can go. I can be the champion. I can carry one of the women's brands.
I almost think she has to get rid of the move.
Yeah, Booker's not there to call it, so why keep doing it?
And the way WWE, like, that is going to be the thing that's going to be the only thing. Like, every match, they're just waiting for it. Like, I think you got to lose it at this point.
You want to get the door, Gabe? Or
hello. What is that? Got this room booked, so I don't know. I don't know who's knocking on the door. They can worry about that later. Any other matches you boys want to throw out there?
Yes, I like to have the matchup of you against Homer True trying to get into that door. I think Marquette's going to be good this year. I think Homer is trying to get into the door. What do you think, Tony?
See, these Chicago people, Brian, they just can't help but take shots at the Milwaukee.
Not a shot.
You got Jay Hood's taking a shot at Homer. Nope. His partner's taking a shot at WTMJ's Vince Petrano this week.
Nope.
We may have to have a Milwaukee versus Chicago battle royal.
Nope.
Is what we may need to do.
Absolutely not, because I'm with you on the Brewers, so that doesn't work. So that doesn't work.
That's okay. You can turn heel on Chicago and join the good guys.
Well, listen, I got no problem. But you know what I said about Homer is funny. You know that much.
Again, sometimes the heels make you laugh. Yeah. It's just it's the way it goes. If you happen to miss any of our shows, any of our interviews, check us out, youtube.com/@CouldKarmaWrestling. Comment, subscribe, check us out,
Tony,
over on our YouTube page.
Hello, Tony. Hello.
That'll do it this week. We'll have plenty of other things to talk about as we get closer to All In, Saturday night's main event, Night of Champions. So many great things going on in wrestling. We'll talk about it all next week right here.